by Shalom. All right. I was on mute. Muted myself. What a great God we serve. Amen. He's so good to us. I'm telling you. I've been really enjoying the Torah. Who's been really enjoying the Torah? You know, we have to love the Torah. Because that's the only way this is going to work. If we're not going to love it, we're going to find things that we can say, that's not what this means, or that's not what that, or that is not what that means. And we start throwing these buts in there and you know, trying to make it fit our life instead of letting the Torah do what it does. But we have got to fall in love with it. And when we fall in love with it, that's when it begins to do what it does. Begins to change us. Begins to see things, enlighten things in our lives that needs to be changed, that needs to be corrected. So I'm just so thankful for another opportunity to come here and get right into His Word. So we'll go ahead and get started with our, I'll just go over the start slides from our Torah teaching starting last night. Is understanding Yah's likes and dislikes. And we're on 41, and it's Pinkus, Hebrew for Pinkus, the Strong's 86372, and it means mouth of brass. And this Torah is Numbers 25:9 through 31, and the half Torah is 1 Kings 18:46 through 19:1. And the topics in chapters 25 through 26 is the story of the son of the high priest Pinkus and the recounting of an updated census. In chapter 27 is Moshe told he would die and to anoint Yehoshua, to anoint Joshua. Chapters 28 through 29 is the designated timings of Jehovah. And if you haven't read that part of the Torah, listen, go read it. It's so good. That part of, about his designated times of Jehovah is powerful. And I can't wait till maybe 2 years from now, because it's taken us a year just to get one chapter in. So next year will be chapter, 26, maybe 27. So we got 2 years to wait before we get to 28 and 29. So we can explain. But y'all can go ahead and read it, and it'll bless you, I promise you. So we'll go right to where we stopped last night. And if you haven't, those that weren't here, if you haven't listened to it yet, I advise you to get it because it was good. Or go and listen to it. I think we stopped in 63. Or was it 43? 43. Yes. What Pinkus displayed was a jealousy zeal for what was right, and that which he had a right to be zealous for. Often we see jealousy in English as a negative thing, yet there is nothing negative about Yehovah being jealous for us. The way I can describe it best is simply to say that there is a vast difference in being zealous for that which rightfully belongs to you and has been taken as opposed to being envious of that which is not yours and you have not right to, yet burn intensely for that which is not yours to have. And listen, we have to be careful, because we can, when we get so caught up in what's going on around us, we can get that in us and we can get that wrong kind of jealousy. We need to get the jealousy of what his, we need to get this in us. Get his word working in us and get jealous for Yehovah and for what he likes and what he dislikes. But if we don't be careful, we can find ourselves being envy towards what someone else has or what someone else don't have. And listen, I want to say Facebook, but just social media in general, you can get that. When you get that in you and you're just looking at that constantly, you can get envy of what someone else is doing or what they're not doing. And that kind of jealousy is what he's saying don't do. Get jealous, get my zeal. Get that upon you. So set-apartness befits the house of Elohim. And we are to be zealous for this standard to keep within the body of Messiah. This kind of zeal is a positive application of the word kana. When we are envious over people or things that are not ours to have, then that is the negative use of kana. While being jealous for having the righteous right ruling and standards of the Torah, which has been corrupted by traditions and man-made systems of compromise, is the positive and right form of kana, which when acted upon will cause one to take a righteous stand of boldness as Pinchas did. And that's what happened in this whole story with the children. They came to compromise of what was of the what the party they was taking part in. You know, it didn't become as so important to them of keeping Yah's standards. You know, he couldn't curse them. It was blessed. Long as they stayed underneath that hoopah, long as they stayed underneath that tent of Yehovah. But it's when they started compromising of eating their slaughters, doing what they was doing, is when Pinchas rose up and he took that right stand, and he had the right to. The right kind of zeal that Pinchas had was one that was not a slave to his emotions, but rather that he burned with the same passion that Yehovah had. So he wasn't moved on his emotions, on his thoughts and his feelings. He was moved by the emotions of what they were doing to Yehovah. It was so passive what they were doing to, it didn't matter to him, like his feelings. It was Yehovah's feelings that that rose up in him and did what he, and caused him to do what he did. And this kind of zeal is being called out, is being called for today. If we have the same zeal for Yehovah and his righteousness as he has towards us, then we would do our utmost to put to death all forms of compromise and flee all whoring. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee whoring. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits whoring sins against his own body. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Therefore, my beloved ones, flee from idolatry. 1 Timothy 6:11. But you, O man of Elohim, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, reverence, belief, love, endurance, and meekness. 2 Timothy 2:22. And flee from the lust of youth, but pursue righteousness, belief, love, peace, with those calling on the Master out of a clean heart. 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous for you with a jealousy according to Elohim. For I gave you in marriage to one husband, to present you as an innocent maiden to Messiah. One husband. This kind of zeal or ador that Pinchas displays in the kind of zeal that we are to have for guarding the commands of Elohim in doing that, have a great zeal for the house, the dwelling place of the Most High. For that is what we are. When we have a zeal for the house, we will keep the house clean. And when saying that, I am reminded of the words of David in Psalm 69:8-8. But he says, you have a zeal for the house, we will keep the house clean. We will keep ourselves from whoring when we have a zeal for his house. We will keep that house clean. And listen, that's individually and also collectively as a body. Also corporately, we will keep that house clean. First is individually and then collectively as a body. And in Psalm 69:8-9, it says, I have become a stranger to my brothers. Lord, listen, let me tell you. When you get zealous for Elohim and his word and his standards, this will happen. I have become a stranger to my brothers, a foreigner to my mother's children. Why? Because a door for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. So you're not going to fit in. Family members. He's talking about family members right here. You're not going to fit in. You're going to become a stranger to them. It's not that you're not going to want to be around them. They're not going to be around you. Instead of meeting them in the aisle at the grocery store and you the one turning away, they're the one turning away because they're foreigners. You're foreign to them. They don't want that because the house has eaten you up. You are zealous for what the word says. The Hebrew noun used for a door is kana, Strong's 87068, which comes from the root verb kana. Kina was the first one, and this one is kana. When our door for the house eats us up, so to speak, that we must realize that we may indeed become a stranger to our family and friends who are not zealous for Elohim and his word. Psalms 119, 139. My ador has consumed me, for my adversaries have forgotten your word. My ador has consumed me, for my adversaries has forgotten your word. Once again, we can see how the psalmist is expressing how the forgetfulness of compromising people caused his ador of the Torah of Elohim to consume him. The Hebrew word translated here as consume is tasmath, Strong's 86789, which means to put an end to, exterminate, to cut off, destroy, and consume. And while this word expresses a clear extermination, we also take note how much the lawlessness of the enemies of the true servant of Yehovah had utterly caused his ador to consume him. His ador for the house has certainly eaten him up. As he saw how so many easily and quickly forgot the words of Yehovah. And when we was eating yesterday, you know, we talked Torah. You know, we said, oh, this one was good. Or this one was very good. Or this one you didn't want to dive straight into. You want to just peep at it. And I told him, I said, this one is challenging. And it is. It's challenging because you challenge on, and he said, well, he made the statement, said, we just got, it is challenging, but we just have to decide when are we going to say it? When are we going to decide to let this pinkus arise in us to be zealous for what the word says? And there's two ways that we can do it. You know, there's the right way and the wrong way. Now, pinkus didn't do it for his emotions. We said that. We just reiterated it again. He did it because he was jealous for the zeal of Elohim. He did it because of what they was doing to Yehovah. Not because of what they was doing to Pinchas and Aharon. Well, Aharon's dead. And Moses. It's what they was doing to Yehovah. I highlighted this. We need to be challenged in our daily walk. Daily walk means every day. That's daily walk. It's not a sometime. It's not a once a week. Every day we need to be challenged. Or we walking the walk and talking the talk. If we're going to talk the talk, we need to walk the walk. We need to be challenged every single day in our daily walk as we see how so many have conveniently forgotten the words of Yehovah. We too ought to be consumed by an intense ador for Yehovah. We too ought to be consumed by an intense ador for Yehovah. And listen, you don't, there's situations and times that you don't want to do it. You know, because of course you feel like you don't want to hurt nobody's feeling and you just want to love them, you know. But to deliberately go against his word, we're hurting them more than what we're telling, than what we're doing to them by not telling them. By telling them is showing them that we love them and care about them. That's showing them that we love them. By not doing it, by not saying nothing, It's like, we don't care what y'all are doing. Just go ahead and continue to do what you're doing. Many people today will claim that they are zealous for Yehovah, but yet their life will tell. The fruits that they're bearing will tell. Yet they cut corners and allow compromise to go unchallenged. And that's the thing. I think people are scared to be challenged. They don't want to be challenged because they don't want to be wrong. And it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong, but they don't want that. I'm right and that's it. You know, it's set in stone. To go unchallenged and to not confront the mixed lukewarm worship of so many others. Or do they want to be confronted about their lives? Nor do they want to be confronted about their lives, as they are sadly partaking in lukewarm worship themselves. When our zeal for Yehovah and his word completely consumes us, then we will be like the Pinchas of today, who stand up and put to death any attempts at a vain worship that is clearly compromised through a sickening mixing. When our zeal for Yehovah and his word completely consume us, then we will be like the Pinchas of today, who stand up and put to death any attempts at a vain worship that is clearly compromised through a sickening mixing. The zeal for Yehovah consumed Eliyahu too, and we see him expressing his zeal to Yehovah in 1 Kings 19:10. And he said, I have been very jealous for Yehovah Elohim of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They have thrown down your altars, and they have slain your prophets with the sword. And I am left, I alone, and they seek my life to take it. Notice he says, very jealous for who? For Yehovah. Very jealous for him. That's when we get our envy right. If we start getting jealous because of our own things, then that's when our envy gets wrong, our zeal gets wrong. But being very jealous for Yehovah. The word very jealous is written in the Hebrew text as kano, and it's kinye yefi, and emphasizes just how zealous Eliyahu was. Emphasis. As in effect was saying, I am zealous with my zeal for Yehovah. I believe from the patterns that we see in Scripture, in seeing how the true worshipers and servants of Elohim has a zeal for Yehovah and stood up amidst a crooked and perverse people, that we too need to stand up today in an urgent and zealous zeal for Yehovah and his word. We too need to stand up today in an urgent and zealous zeal for Yehovah and his word. Because listen, this was the last year of going through the wilderness. Listen, we in our last year. And Pinchas stood up because after 39 years of Yehovah providing for you over and over and over, and you getting ready to step into that promised land, the last year, and here you are committing whoring, saying totally don't partake in that, in their worship, in their gatherings, in their slaughtering, but yet here you're easily persuaded, just like Pastor made that statement last night. Listen, he brought the best of the best women up in there. He didn't bring the uglies of the uglies. He brought the best of the best. That's what was said. Look, they was beautiful. They probably was hand-picked. Fine. Them was fine. And he said he made them let that sweet-smelling perfume go upwind of them. Don't go downwind. Y'all go upwind of them and let them smell that. And that's how easy it was. Why? Because they forgot the word. They forgot what Yehovah did for them. They forgot his zeal. Because, listen, When you grab the word with two hands, you don't forget. You're not easily persuaded. When you're rooted and grounded in his word, you're not easily persuaded. This is what Pincus did. For he stood up and acted as he could no longer put up with the mixed compromise of people who claimed to be worshiping the Elohim that he was extremely zealous for. Pincus, the grandson of Aharon, was sick and tired of the blatant disregard for Yehovah and neglect to be obedient to his Torah. The blatant disregard, meaning they knew it was wrong. But that's the problem. That's the blatant disregard when you know. Now, there's a difference between people that don't have the understanding and the teaching that we have been gracefully blessed with. Gracefully blessed with it. But now it's our opportunity to gracefully bless those that don't have it. Listen, don't be quick to stick them with the spear when they don't have this teaching. But the ones that have it, and the ones that say that you can have a conversation with and say, yeah, I know that's what it says. Yeah, that's what it says. But that's the one, grab the spear. Grab it. Because that's the one that is blatantly disregarding the word of Yehovah. That's the one that's neglecting to be obedient to his Torah. They know it. They know it to be true. They know it to be right. They know it that the man-made holidays are totally against his Torah. But that is not what it means to me. That's not having that right envy for Yehovah. It's not being jealous for him. That's having envy for my feelings of what I want. And we can learn some great lessons from his name, which means mouth of brass. And with the name of his father, El-Azar, meaning El has helped, in the name of Aharon, meaning light bringer, we can see that today we too, as a royal priesthood for Messiah, need to stand up and be bold in speaking the truth without fear, as we are helped by the light of the world, Yeshua Messiah, who strengthens us by his spirit to speak words that we need to, in our stand of destroying all forms of idolatry and the wicked whoring after Baal that is going on. So us, as we need to be that light bringer and know that we have a help, that El is our help, that we can do this, that we can bring that, we can bear that light and take a stand. Listen, we don't need a fear. Listen, he gave Pincus great peace. Listen, he can give us great peace when we need to do it also. But we do it according to his word. Do it according to his Torah. Don't do it according to our thoughts and our ideas and our ideologies, or, you know, what we think it means or say. What? Do it according to his Torah. Without fear. We won't fear it. If we're doing it according to this, we won't have no fear. We will not be consumed to fear if we're doing it according to his Torah, according to his word. How many of you are sick and tired of the blatant disregard that many have for Yehovah in the world around us today? We see everything other than Yehovah being worshipped today, even within the body of Messiah. And what we are doing about it? What are we doing about it? It's all around us. Notice what he says, though. The body of Messiah. You can't help the ones that's not in the body of Messiah. I mean, you can't help them by, you know, sharing the gospel with them. But that's not the focus. He's talking about the body of Messiah. Those are the ones that's bringing Baal worship to Yehovah. That's why Pincus did what he did. Because it was the children of Israelite. The children of Israel. It wasn't no one else. It wasn't the ones that was outside the camp. This was going on inside the camp. It wasn't the ones that was outside the camp that his zeal rose up against. Because remember, he was praying for the people because they was dying. By the thousands, they was dying. In the midst of the darkness of the world that we live in, and the desperate need for us to walk consistently in our loving obedience to the commands of Yehovah and shine the light, there is a call to those who truly fear Yehovah and are zealous for him and his honor to rise up and take a stand for the truth. We also take note of how jealous Yehovah is. So we have to rise up and take stand for the truth. Exodus 34, 11 through 17. Guard what I command you today. See, I am driving out from before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, and the Hittite, and the Jebusite. Guard yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But break down their slaughter places and smash their pillars and cut down their Asherim. For you do not bow yourselves to another mighty one. For Yehovah, whose name is jealous, is a jealous El. Notice what they were supposed to do when they got invited to that party. They should have went, but they should have begun to break down their slaughter places and smash their pillars. But no, they compromised with it. They begin to compromise with it. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants, verse 15, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they whore after their mighty ones, and slaughter to their mighty ones, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his slaughter. That's what they did, invite him. That's what he told them. He said, listen, if you can't beat him, remember, join him. Come on, just invite them to your party. And remember, we're going to buy everything to where you ain't got to pay for nothing. Let us buy it all. And we bought it, hook, line, and sinker. We bought it. Same thing the church, Roman Catholic, did to us. And you take for his daughters, for your sons, and his daughters whore after their mighty ones, and make your sons whore after their mighty ones. Do not make a molded mighty one for yourselves. These words that Yehovah spoke to Moshe make it very clear how jealous Yehovah is in his jealousy. He will not accept any compromise form of worship, teaching us that in our zeal for him, we must be ardent in destroying all forms of false worship and compromise. Yisrael were completing their last year of their wilderness wanderings and were camped next to the Jordan River at Shittim. They would have known that they were in their last year, for Yehovah had told them. It's not like they didn't know. It's not like they was wondering what year, if we on 35 or 30. They knew. It was a year for every day that they went out to spy out the land. For 40 days they went. So it was for 40 years. And trust me, they was counting the years because they wanted to get to the promised land. They was tired of being in the wilderness. So they knew what year it was. They knew they was in 39. For Yehovah had told them that they would be in the wilderness for 40 years for their disobedience. 1 year for every day that they spied out the land and brought back a bad report. It was from this very place that Joshua would lead them across the Jordan into the promised land and destroy Jericho and the surrounding nations. I want you to picture this for a moment. As we look back in time, the journey in the wilderness is nearly over. The land of promise is just across the river, which they can physically see. They were on the home stretch, so to speak. The wilderness years were certainly not easy. Over 1 million adults that had left Mitzrayim were now dead. Moshe's brother and sister, Aharon and Miriam, were now dead, and Moshe didn't have much longer to go either. For he also knew that he would not go across, as Yehovah had told him after he hit the rock instead of speaking to it for water at Meribah. The years in the wilderness were years of hardship and grumbling, plagues, and battles. Why? I highlighted this. A result of their own disobedience. That's why it was hardship. That's why there was plagues and battles that they have to face. It wasn't nobody else's fault. Our own. It's our own. When we facing, when we got battles that we're facing, when sickness comes upon us, when we're grumbling about whatever we know, it don't take much for us to grumble. We can find the little bittiest thing to grumble about. We make something this big look like it's a mountain when it's just this big. But it's a result of our own disobedience. It's not my neighbor's fault, not my mom and dad's fault, not my wife's fault, not my husband's fault. It's not my pastor's fault. It's my fault. My own disobedience. That's why I'm still in the wilderness for 40 years. I might add, yet through it all, Yehovah was with them and he provided for them. Through all their grumbling, through all their complaining, through all their disobedience, Yehovah was with them and he provided for them. Think about that. You're talking about a loving father that cares so much for his children. That through all that, I'm still with you. I'm still going to provide for you. Food and water for over 2 million people for 40 years in the desert. Yishuyah were now about to cross over into the promised land, that they were about to embrace the victory of the promises of Yehovah. If you were to enter this campsite at this time, think about it. Put yourself there. Knowing all this, you would kind of think that you would find great excitement, expectation, enthusiasm, people rejoicing, dancing, singing, giving thanks, and worshiping Yehovah of hosts. Think about that if you were there. That's what you would want to see. That's what you would think you would see. Well, while that may be what you would expect to see, we find and discover that this great scene of thankfulness that we thought would be there was not at all what was going on. And think about our lives. It ain't no different. You would think that's what we would expect to see, especially when we come into his domain, his house of worship and praise. But yet we don't see that all the time. We see people grumbling and complaining instead of excitement. Excitement that he blessed me with another Shabbat service to come and worship him. He blessed me with another Shabbat service to come and take part in his word. But we can find the littlest thing to grumble about and complain about instead of an excitement and giving thanks and worship for his breath that is in my lungs again this morning. When he didn't have to give me that. He didn't have to wake me up this morning, but I'm with you through all your grumblings and your complainings. I'm still providing for you. I'm still providing for you. In fact, the opposite was happening. They were whoring after the seduction of Moabites and were enticed into committing sexual acts of sin in worshiping the Baal. Pinchas displayed his love for Yehovah. Pinchas displayed his love for Yehovah. So make sure when we praying, you know, let this Pinchas spirit arise in me. Make sure we adding for your love, not for my love or my jealousy or my envy. Make sure we get this right, because we don't want to cause, because there's a cause and effect in our lives. And we're doing it wrong, we better be ready to accept what's going to happen to us and not to point the finger. So make sure we praying for his love. In his total obedience to Yehovah, while the majority of the camp were disregarding the commands of Elohim. 2 John 1:6, and this is the love, that we walk according to his commands. This is the command that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. We read in 2 John 1 through 6. And where he said you heard it from? The beginning. Get back to the beginning, church. Get back to the beginning. That's where you heard it from. And that you walk in it. This passion and zeal that was displayed that day is what is being called for again today. We're being commissioned. We're being challenged today with this Torah portion. We're being challenged. We love the Torah. We love it. As that we see happening in the world today is no different to the whoring and being joined into Baal Peor that we see being spoken of here in this chapter. Shaul tells us to be ardent in spirit. Romans 12:11. Not idle in duty. Ardent in spirit. Serving the master. Not idle. Look, not, oh, I'm going to get there. Just give me a little more time. No, let's get there. It's time for us to get there. That's being ardent in spirit. Now, it's not no time to put this bad boy in cruise control. It's not for us to be idle. Oh, just bear with me, Pastor. I'm going to get there. I only been sitting in your teachings for 40 years. Really? No. Let's ardent in spirit. It's time. It's time. It's time to get out this idle mode. We have been commissioned of serving the master. The Greek word that is translated as ardent comes from the root verb zeo, Strong's G2204, which means to be hot, fervent. Have a zeal, have a zeal for what is good or bad. To boil. And is equivalent to the Hebrew word kana, Strong's 87065. Now, one can be hot or zealous for that which is good or what is evil. And so we are able to see that while we are encouraged and instructed to be ardent, hot, for the master is serving him in spirit, and truth, we also recognize that there are many who are hot for doing evil. That's what we need to be careful for. Because our zealous can get very zealous for doing evil. But that's not what he's telling us. He says, let's be hot, be fervent, for zeal for what is good. Let's not be zealous for what is bad. Micah 7:2-3. The kind one has perished from the earth, and there is no one straight among men. All of them lie in wait for blood. They hot for the evil. That's what Micah, the prophet, is telling us right here. For blood, everyone hunts his brother with the net. Both hands are on the evil to do it well. The prince asks for gifts. The judge seeks a bride, and a great man speaks the desire of his being, and they weave it together. That's not happening today in our world. No, not at all. Of course not. Huh? Both hands are on the wheel for evil. There are many today who are claiming to worship Elohim, yet the hypocrisy of their lukewarm lifestyle reveal that they are not ardent for Yehovah, and reveal that their so-called love for Elohim is with hypocrisy, as they hold fast to that which is evil. Look what Shaul is saying in Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Shrink from that which is wicked and cling to what is good. Listen, take both hands off of the evil, and we need to put it on both hands of what is good. What is good? This is good for us. This is good. This is what we need to grab both hands for. Both hands on right here. And listen, not to be idle. We're not dropping it down in idle mode. We got to get this ardent spirit going. It's time. It's time to break down their slaughtering places, their Asherim. Their lukewarm worship. It's time to challenge them. As mentioned in last week's Torah portion commentary, Baal Peor was a Moabite mighty one, which service included sexual immoral acts. The name Baal means husband and landowner, and its general meaning in term, as used in pagan idolatry and worship, is Lord. We had this last night, which may be a little shocking to you. If you have never realized this, as the term Lord is a construct of an inherited term, which comes from pagan worship that was used for thousands of years. Lowercase, L-O-R-D, Lord. Peor Strong's 86465 was the name of a mountain in Moab. The name comes from the root word Baar, Strong's 86473, which is a verb meaning open wide, and so in essence, Baal Peor can be accurately rendered as Lord of the opening, or the Lord that opens wide. We know that Yeshua says that wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many find it. The occurrences of this verb, Pa'ar, Strong's 86473, means open wide, indicate a junction with the strong passion or feeling, usually not very positive, and describe the wide opening of the mouth, hence alluding to other body cavities. Hosea remarks on the Baal Peor event, Hosea 9:10, and it is clear that the Israelites defiled themselves with abundant fornication and sexual perversion, as the Baal worship rites were celebrated by the grossest obscenity. So here we can translate that being joined to Baal Peor meant being led on the wide path that leads to destruction. We are to be the joined body of Messiah, joined to Messiah, Yeshua, being led in his narrow way. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter in through the narrow gate, because the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter in through it, because the gate is narrow and the way is hard pressed. See, that's why nobody wants to go on the narrow road. It's hard pressed. Sometimes it feels like it's suffocating. Everybody wants to choose the wide, because it's so easy. We can compromise. We can throw our butts in. We can throw our feelings in. We can throw our thoughts in. But when you're in this narrow way, and it's hard press which leads to life, and there are few who find it. This is the word of our master, the words of Yeshua himself. The word translated here as hard press comes from the Greek word Philebo, Strong's G2346, which means to press or afflict, to distress, to suffer affliction. That's why nobody wants to find this road, because there's some affliction you got to bear. There's some things you got to go through. You know, there's going to be some people talking about you. That's affliction. It hurts when somebody says something about you. Let's not kid ourselves. It hurts, especially when it's family members. When family members say something about you, that stings. That hurts. But when you're zealous for Elohim, that's when they're not on the same page with you. They begin to say things that is hurtful. And they suffer affliction. And in the literal sense, it means to squash, press, hem up, rub, harass. How many know that Yeshua felt all of these? He was hard-pressed. He was harassed. He was rubbed. And I don't mean, you know, get used to the hand rub. That's not the kind of rub. I remember as a matter of fact, it was with the doctor. What was his name? Dr. Bob? So we decided we were going to get a massage from the doctor, friend of his or whatever that is in the little office. That little dude hurted me. Listen, I was not expecting that. That hurted. I was not happy when I left out of there. I wanted to rub him when I got up. I really did, because that's not the kind of massage I wanted. No, I wanted to get used to the hand. I couldn't get used to that hand. Man, you hurt me. That's what I wanted to tell him so bad. It was not the rub, but that's the rub people want. That's the rub the church want. Listen, this is not the rub the Torah give. Listen, this Torah is a deep tissue massage. Deep tissue. It's, you're going to feel it. If you love it, if you love it, you're going to feel it. If you got both hands on it, you're going to feel it. If you don't love it, you're not going to feel it. Because then you're going to put your thoughts, your butts. Oh, yeah, and then you get you like that, huh? Yeah, this one feels good. No. But when he gets that deep tissue in it, you don't like them deep tissues. I didn't. I don't know about y'all, but I did. Harassed. And also can be understood as being narrow or hard-pressed. In the Greek word that is translated as narrow is stenos, Strong's G4728, which means narrow, space or passage, as a result of obstacles standing close about. Obstacles standing close about. But what he said, what he told him, he said, I am with you in all your grumbling. I know these obstacles are there, but I'm with you. In other words, the true path of life is very narrow. And often it will feel like the pressure of so many obstacles or destruction that are pressing hard against us or doing their best to cause us to not enter in as we are continually hard pressed on every side. Yet, as faithful followers of Messiah, we are not crushed. As faithful followers of Messiah, we are not crushed. I'm with you. I'm with you. The Greek word translated here as wide is plathos, Strong's G4116, which means broad street, broad way. The Greek word used here for broad is erocherus, Strong's G2149, which means broad, spacious, and is used in the LXX Septuagint, Greek translation of the Tanakh, Old Testament, in the following verses. Hosea 4:16, for Yisrael is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Would Yehovah now feed them like a lamb in a broad place? The Hebrew word that translated here as broad place is the noun merhab, Strong's H4800, which means a broad or roomy place, large field, and comes from the root verb rahab, Strong's 873-37. And it is from this root verb that we get the word that is translated as proud, as in a proud heart. In Proverbs 21:4, a haughty look, a proud heart, the lamp of the wrong or sin. And a proud heart, this is written in the Hebrew as follows, Yerheb and Leb, which comes from the two root words. Number one is Leb, Strong's H3820, which means the inner man, mind, will, thought. And Rahab, Strong's H7342, which means wide, broad, proud, arrogant, spacious, which comes from the root verb Rahab, Strong's 87337, which means to be or grow wide or large, or large, extend, make room, open wide. I find this picture of having a wide heart as being a proud one that is very interesting, especially as we take note of the clear warning that we can glean from this, and that is that we are to guard the narrow way of truth in our heart, and not be arrogantly led astray by the so-called many ways that are being presented as acceptable. A proud heart or a broad heart is an idiomatic expression for arrogance and teaches us that the dangers of simply accepting the broad path that leads to destruction. Many people arrogantly assume that they are fine and think that they can do whatever is right in their own eyes. They think they're fine. I'm good. Along with many others who think the same and that all will be fine in the end. This is the broad path, of arrogance that leads to death. There is only one way, and it's narrow. It's hard pressed. A proud heart is a picture of a heart that does not guard the Torah of Elohim, but follows whatever path best suits their situation. According to their own standards of uprightness, with no regard for the clear truth of the Torah of Elohim. With no regard for the clear truth of the Torah of Elohim. A proud heart is also a picture, a clear picture, of one who rebels against the Torah of Elohim. And we know that Scripture repeatedly tells us that Yehovah resists the proud, and in the day of Yehovah he will put an end to the arrogance of the proud. Isaiah 13:11, and I shall punish the world for its evil and the wrong for their crookedness, and shall put an end to the arrogance of the proud and lay low the pride of the truthless. In essence, Baal worship is the giving over to a free rein to the carnal nature, which is the flesh, and is expressed in gluttony, drunkenness, and sexual acts. This form of pagan worship comes from the ancient Babylon, as the worship of Nimrod was started by Semiramis, known as the Queen of Heaven or Ishtar, today known as Easter, who was the pagan goddess of fertility and mother of Tammuz. The worshipped son of Baal, who would be reborn every year on December 25th. You see, celebrating these pagan festivals under the misguided lie of worship unto Yeshua is in fact a way people today are engaging in Baal worship. Pinchas is a great shadow picture of Messiah, but who is coming as a lion that will devour and destroy the work of darkness and the wickedness of idolatry against Elohim. For when he comes again, he is coming with vengeance. And great zeal. Listen, he came as a humble servant the first time. But his second coming, he's not going to be so humble. He's coming with the vengeance and with the great zeal of Elohim. For he is jealous El, and he will put to death the whoring. Pinchas was not going to simply sit by and shut up when others were too afraid to take a stand. That's where we're at, some of us. Maybe quite a few of us. We don't want to ruffle no feathers. We want to just, they're going to get it when they want to get it. Pinchas was not going to simply sit by and shut up when others were too afraid to take a stand. Pinchas stood up, not for himself, but for Yehovah. That's what we got to get. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for Yehovah. That's what he did it for. As we see in this account, the path of zeal for Yehovah's name, his esteem, and his righteous right standard is not easy, as it requires everything of you. The Torah requires everything of you. It will consume your time. I promise. And it's often a very lonely path. Yet we who claim to live in Yeshua must walk this very zealous path that he himself walked. That's the thing. He's not telling us to do something that he did not do. He did it. He walked it. He lived it. And be bold and ardent for him in declaring the truth. I also believe that Pinchas was well trained and skilled in the use of weaponry, and he could, with precision, use the spear, which he did, with a very sharp spear. This speaks to me about our being trained and skilled in the word. We have to be very skilled and trained in the word, and that's what we grab. Because no, he didn't grab a sword. He grabbed something that he was very skilled with. Very familiar with. He knew exactly how much thrust to put into him to make it hit the ground to go through and through two people. You have to know, you have to have the knowledge of all these things. You have to know. That's what the word is telling us that we need. We need to notice. We have to get very skilled in this word, in his Torah. Get very skilled in it. Because, listen, it's sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword. Piercing divide, bone marrow, joint. Think about it. You think we want to be skilled in this? This is powerful. This word is powerful. We must become skilled in the very word that is sharper than any double-edged sword and be ardent to use it for the esteem of Yehovah. For the esteem of Yehovah, be ardent to use it for his glory, for his esteem, not for ours. Let me tell you, when you take a stand with this precision, use the word that cuts, you will not necessarily be popular. So do not expect an applause. Yay, they got it. Thank you. We love you. No, expect mockery. Something wrong with them over there. Something wrong. They done fell off their rocker. They horse, whatever, donkey, whatever they want to call it. Out their boat. They done fell off. Pastor Jesse done lost his mind. Expect mockery, slander, coarse laughter, and bitterness. That's what you get when you take a stand. They're not loving on you for speaking the truth. But know this. I love when I highlight verse, when something pops out to me. Look, this is the buts that we want to insert. This is the kind of buts. But know this. Your reward is not with men. It is with Yehovah. Why? He will applaud you and reward you for what? For defending his esteem. For defending his glory, his honor. It's all about how much glory and honor we give him. How much glory and honor he deserves. Wouldn't it be something wonderful to hear the Father say, you are as zealous as I am for my esteem. That's the word pink is heard. Huh? Wouldn't it be something on that day that we hear those same words on his return, on judgment day, says that y'all were zealous for my esteem. Y'all didn't care about what people, all the naysayers. Y'all didn't care that they wasn't praising y'all. Giving y'all the hand claps. Telling y'all thank you, how much I love you and appreciate what you're saying. No, they made mockers, they slandered. They laughed at us. They laughing at us. They are. But that's okay. That's so okay. Because we don't do it for men. We're doing it for him. We're doing it for Yehovah. Yehovah is waiting for his chosen to arise. And have the courage to love him and hate sin. Obedience to his living word is the highest expression of our love for him. Obedience to his word is our expression, is the highest expression of our love for him. As we go through this Torah portion, I am asking you today, will you arise? And listen, not only you, I'm asking myself. Ask myself this. Will you arise and burn with zeal for Yehovah's esteem and be bold and courageous to declare his truth as you see sin around you, as you see Baal worship going on in the lives of believers? Will you take up a stand for his Torah to live it, declare it, and teach it as you zealously expose the lies of the enemy? And draw people back unto true worship. But I notice, and I should have highlighted this, to live it, declare it, and teach it. All three go together. Listen, we can't teach it and declare it and not live it. We can't live it and declare it and not teach it. We can flip this bad boy all kind of ways that we want to flip it. But all three go together. Has to go together. Live it, declare it, and teach it. May we not sit at the false teachings and watered down doctrines. May we not sit by that. Will you in your own life kill and put to death the misdeeds of the flesh and help others to do so as well? Listen, help others to do so as well. This is some, we can take this out of context. Let's not remember, Pinchas did it for the zeal of Yehovah, for his esteem, for his glory. So let's not get in our flesh right here and think that, you know, I'm going to take this fear up and, you know, take matters into my own hand. Sometimes we like to do that. That comes easily, quickly. We got to watch that. That's the flesh. That's what we have to watch. This is an Eliyahu message that I am laying out before you. No matter how often you go through this Torah portion and cycle, it is alive for you now. Why do I say this? What is this Eliyahu message? Well, Eliyahu was also very zealous for Yehovah. And in his confrontation with Baal worship, we see that this too is a call to forsake the worship of Baal and return to the commands of Yehovah. On the physical level, the Eliyahu message denounces sexual sin and also lust of the flesh. And on the spiritual level, that is expressed in the desires of the flesh. It denounces the observance of pagan festivals, such as Christmas, Easter, and Halloween, to name a few. It denounces pagan festivals. The majority will continue to worship Baal, whether they realize it or not. We see that. The majority will continue to worship Baal, no matter if they realize it or not, because they put this, they do a little butt thing. Yet there will be many overcomers, many like Pinchas. True believers who keep the commandments of Yehovah and put their faith in Yeshua Messiah. Endeavor to be amongst the few, amongst the remnant as you walk the path of zeal. It is time to rise up, take a stand, and do what? Live, eat, hear, and do the truth. It's time to take up a stand to live, eat, hear, and do the truth. Do not let sin pull you away. Do not be afraid to rise up and take a stand. Listen, we're only afraid because we're not skilled in this yet. We have to, when we get skilled, look, Pinchas didn't go in there and tiptoed in the tent where they was at. He didn't peep. Make sure they wasn't looking. Listen, he was skilled in what he was doing, what he had. He wasn't afraid to go do what he did because he was skilled. We got to get skilled in this. We get skilled in this, we're not going to be afraid to stand up and speak the truth. That's the only time we're scared. Fear comes upon us because we're not skilled in it just yet. But we're working on it. We're going to be very skilled here shortly. One more year of going through this bad boy the way we're going through it, I promise you, we're going to be skilled. We're going to be skilled. If we love it. Don't forget that. If we love it. Walk in a true zeal for Yehovah. Stop and think about it for a moment. There are people who are dying. What are you doing? What are you going to do? I will tell you what you should do. Be zealous for Yehovah and rise up and take control. Look, people is dying. We ain't got to look for in our home. Family members. People that's close to us. What are we going to do? Are we going to stand up and take that zeal? Isaiah 61 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the esteem of Yehovah has risen upon you. Listen, how we have that esteem, high as it is, because Yeshua, our light, has come. Yeshua has come. And he has given us the ability to where we can rise up upon him. For look, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But Yehovah rises over you, and his esteem is seen upon you. Because of the life of Yeshua, the living Torah himself came, and he's given us the ability to take a stand. As you may know, light in the Hebrew also carries what in the meaning of knowledge. And therefore, darkness can carry the meaning of ignorance or being hidden from the truth. You see, darkness, ignorance is over the earth, yet thick darkness and ignorance is over many people. But we who walk in the Torah have the light. The light and knowledge of Yeshua Messiah. As we walk in him, and when we walk in him, his esteem is upon us. The question remains, will we be like Pinchas and arise and stand up and defend the esteem of Yehovah and take a stand for the truth? We too must learn from our master and Elohim, which we see being a shadow picture through the examples of Pinchas, as we also are able to see how zealous Messiah was for his house. John 2:14-17. And he found in the set apart place those selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers sitting. And having made a whip of cords, we're about to see how zealous Yeshua was for the house. He was ate up with it. He drove them all out of the set apart place with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the money changers, coins, and overturned tables. And he said to those selling doves, take these away. Do not make the house of my father, a house of merchandise. And his taught ones remembered that it was written, the ador for your house has eaten me up. Think about that. Listen, where he went in there, where his father's house, where they was making this just a place of their slaughter places, their Assyrians. Think about next time you get invited to go speak somewhere. I'm going to keep on going. How zealous are you for the house of Elohim? We see today how even among those who claim to be Torah observant followers of Messiah, that so many are doing as they please, and there are many so-called Torah teachers who are marketing and selling their teachings on a Sabbath. And even place a premium price on their teaching. Two for ten. Making it exclusive to those who can pay. This is no different to what was happening in the days that Messiah turned the tables of the money changers, as a true zeal for his house caused him to turn the tables, so to speak. Verse 12-13, the promise given to Pinchas was Yehovah's covenant of peace. Listen, he don't go back on his covenant. We go back. We break covenant. He don't break covenant. He gave him a covenant of peace. He was literally giving him the shalom of Yehovah as an everlasting covenant. And in Hebrew, the word shalom, Strong's 879-65, means wholeness, completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, health, prosperity, well-being, safety, and protection. Wow. Huh? What does Yehovah Shalom that he gives? 10 already? Gosh. Wholeness, completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, health, prosperity, and well-being, safety, and protection. Listen, I want this peace. I want his shalom. And it's a covenant? Which comes from the primitive root verb, shalom, Strong's 87999, which means to be complete or sound, rewarded, make full restitution. I think y'all speed up them CDs sometime. Some kind of way. Psalms 119:165. Great peace have those loving your Torah. Listen, we love the Torah. Why? Because it gives us great peace. Not just peace. Great. Great. For them, there is no stumbling block. So what is he saying? He said, as long as we love this Torah, we can walk in it and there's no stumbling block. None. Great emphasis is being placed here in Psalms 119, 165 on how much peace that those loving the Torah have. Isaiah 26, 3, the one steadfast of mind you guard in perfect peace, for he trusts in you. The Hebrew text is written as follows. Yetzer, Samut, Titzor, and notice how it's written. Shalom, shalom. Back to back. Peace, peace. Ki, Becca, Batua. This can be literally translated as he whose mind is steadfast, you keep in perfect peace because in you he trusts. The term perfect peace is translated from the repetition of the root word shalom, Strong's 87965. Yeshayahu was picturing himself standing in the redeemed land with the remnant, listening to the people express their thanks to and confidence in Yehovah our Savior, in the true thanks of the reality of the deliverance being made complete for those who are steadfast in mind, is expressed in the complete shalom that is experienced by those who trust in Yehovah. Those loving the Torah have perfect peace and are not shaken by threatening circumstances, but stand firm on the rock of their deliverance. Those loving the Torah have perfect peace, and we are not shaken or threatened about circumstances. We don't care what's going on around us. We don't care about, you know, these man-made viruses that they spit out at us. We don't care about that. I got to watch how I say that. Because, you know, not caring about it in the wrong way can get ourselves in some trouble. But know that if it happens, that he's right there with us. I'm right there with you. Through all your grumbling, through your sicknesses, through your disobedience, I'm here. I'm still here with you. That's what I'm talking about when we don't care. That if it just so happens that it comes upon us, I know that Yehovah is going to deliver me. He's going to see me through it. The root meaning of the Hebrew word shalom, Strong's 87965, is to be whole or surround. And this leads to various translations that speak of completeness, wholeness, well-being, welfare, and peace. The Hebrew word shalom also includes the idea of vigor and vitality in all the dimensions of life. The Hebrew word shalom, Strong's 87965, carries a wealth of meaning that is almost impossible to summarize in a few settings, yet the concept of shalom entails a completeness and wholeness in our Master and Elohim, who has redeemed us from enslavement to the chaos of sin. In the ancient pictograph text, the word shalom, Strong's 87965, looks like this. The shin. This is the letter shin, which in the ancient script is pictured as two front teeth and carries the meaning of sharp or press, chew or devour, which is what the teeth do, and also speaks of the sharpened word that comes forth from the mouth as the teeth chew or meditate on the truth, making what comes forth pure and sharp. It also carries the understanding of consuming or destroying as teeth do to the food. The lamed, the ancient script, has this letter and is pictured as a shepherd's staff and give the meaning of to or to war, and can represent in which pushes or pulls a flock in a direction and can speak of authority, or a yoke that is used to lead and guide, as well as the ability to bring back by authority. The vav, this is the letter, the Hebrew letter, which in the ancient script is as a tent peg, which was used for securing or tying the tent or other items. The possibility of it having a Y shape is to show that it prevents the rope from slipping off. The root meaning of this letter is to add, secure, or hook, as well as bind. And then the mem, the ancient script in this letter, is pictured as water and also carries the meaning of chaos from the storms of the sea, and can also picture that which is mighty or massive, as well as the unknown. We are also able to understand this letter as representing the nations, for the nations are often likened to the seas in scripture. Knowing this letter represents water, we are also able to see how this can render for us the meaning of washing or cleansing. Now, when looking at this word in the ancient pictographic script, we are able to recognize what the true shalom of Elohim brings and does for us. For its ancient meaning could be rendered, among others, as follows: that which destroys or breaks the false authority that bounds us to the chaos of the nations. And further renders this meaning: the word of the good shepherd that secures for us a complete cleansing. The word of the good shepherd that secures for us a complete cleansing. This word speaks of a complete restoration of that was lost and broken, and ensures the provision for what is needed to make one whole and complete, lacking naught. For we have been given all we need for life and reverence, having been grafted into the covenant of peace by the blood of Messiah. All we need, we've been given the blood of Messiah. For those who stand up and are zealous for the esteem of Yehovah, there shall be no lack. Thou shall not want. We shall not want if we stand up for the zealous and the glory of Yehovah. The actions of one man turned the wrath of Elohim away from a nation. A beautiful picture of how Pinkus represents for us a type of picture of Messiah, who by his actions appeased the wrath of Elohim. And what we can learn from these accounts of Pinkus is that the difference between life and death is a matter of being in the proper order or not. And those who guard righteousness and stand firm in the Master, armed with his truth, have the full assurance of being grafted into the everlasting covenant of Shalom. The Hebrew word that is translated as covenant is Bereth, Strong's H1285, which means covenant, confederacy, alliance, pledge, treaty, constitution, ordinance, and agreement. Primarily, we take note that this term is used to describe the agreement or constitution that is established between Elohim and man, his Torah, the agreement and constitution. And such ordinances are accompanied by a sign or pledge. This noun is believed to come from the root verb bara, Strong's H1262, which means to eat, choose, which gives us a better understanding in terms of a covenant meal, where eating together established the covenant between the parties. With this promise of giving Pinkus Yehovah's covenant of peace to him and his seed after him as an everlasting priesthood. I'll stop after this statement. We must take note that this was the assurance of being established to serve as a royal priesthood forever. I only get the one sign, so I have to stop. I only got a few more. There is something I wanted to, I'll save it. That's okay. We get the picture. It's time for us to take a stand. We have been commissioned by Yehovah, but do it for his glory and do it for his esteem and not for ours. And to grab hold of the word, the good word, with two hands, not to grab hold of the evil with two hands, to get back and to cling to his word. Amen. He's so good to us. Let's stand. Any prayer requests?